I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey everyone, welcome to the All Dick is Trash podcast, the podcast about sex, dating, relationships, the patriarchy, and all things in between. I'm your host, Millie Tamaris, aka Millie T, aka Wactose Intolerant, formerly known as Swaggetting and Meatballs. And I'm in the cut, I'm in the studio with co-host extraordinaire Candy Haro. Candy,
it's me.
What's good?
Nothing today.
All right.
Well, except this podcast and our wonderful guest.
Sanaya. I am so excited to have Sanaya Barnwell here. She's amazing. She is this textbook definition bad bitch.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Speaking of bad bitches, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do our trash dick anthology. You know, we have to start off every episode sharing a story on how I came to realize all dick is trash. And the first part, let's go ahead and talk about this guy, this Korean guy that I used to date. And he was straight up from Korea. And I thought dating him would be different because he like literally came to Korea 4 months before we dated. And, but you know what? The thing about trash is that it transcends all continents, countries, cultures, languages. So every time we would have sex, me and this guy, he would always complain about wearing a condom. I can't feel anything. I can't this. I mean, you know, and I remember one time he was, we were having sex. And then after he came, my dude like was on top of me, completely just fell asleep on me. Like 100% fell asleep, like snoring and everything in my ear. And at first it's like cute. You're like, oh, but then you're like, yo, get off. And I like pushed him over and rolled over. And my dog still had the condom on and he was knocked out. And I was like, hey. He would not get up for nothing. And I like had to get up, take the condom off his dick and throw it in the trash. And that's why I'm like, yo, for all this shit that you gave me for wearing a condom, you didn't even feel that it was on, like after Like, fuck you, dude. Like, seriously, you suck. And that's when I figured out all dick is trash. Volume 85. So, speaking of trash, I think we have a trash dick confession.
We do. We do. I was on a second date with this guy. He had already asked me to go out to go on a weekend vacation with him at this point. Fucking weird. We're having sex for a whole 3 minutes when he finishes. We're cuddling and I ask him to finish me if we can go again. He said he's feeling tired. Okay, fine. I say, that's okay. Let's just go to sleep. And then maybe with no hesitation, this fool comes at me with, you know, I think we should see each other casually. Reminder, second date, already wants to go on a weekend vacation. I'm fucking dumbfounded. Not only did he act like he was trying to wife me up on the first date, then he can't even fuck, and now he's trying to push me away? What? So I say, okay, I'm leaving. He begs, and I mean like not letting go of my arm. He says he wants to talk about it. He says, I'm sorry. He pleads, please don't go. I get dressed. He runs after me, stops me in the lobby of his place. He tells me not to go. He wants to talk. I yell at him to leave me alone and that I'm giving him what he wants. He texts me the next morning to see if I got home safe. I texted him I died. That's really trash dick.
That's trash. Trash dick
that comes in 2 seconds and then like gives you mixed signals. That's text with
trash and mixed signal. It just shows that you really have to know what you want, because I think a lot of these guys think they can have their cake and eat it too. And they think that seeing you casually means like that you'll be cool with it and stuff. But as soon as they realize that it means that you're not going to fuck with them anymore and all this shit, they freak out. And that's when they are just like, wait, no, please, please, please. And I don't know if I'm being too forgiving or if it's just, but I'm like, I don't know. Like if he's figuring that out, like maybe give him a chance. But at the same time, I get it. Like, it's like, dude, what
don't
the fuck?
Don't take me away on a weekend trip, our second date, yeah. And then not come, not want to touch my clit, and then be like, yo, like, this is moving too fast.
Yeah, he has no idea. Fucking yeah. Psycho.
That's like, that's the nice kind.
That's the nice guy. Yeah, nice difference between nice versus kind. That's true. And yeah, it's just like people need to know what they want before they get someone else wrapped up in shit.
That's true.
But yeah, for sure, trash.
All dick is trash.
But you know who's not trash? Sanaya Barnwell, our next guest. Sanaya kindly joined us after she had the most amazing birthday last night. I say birthday weekend because I showed up to the bar on Friday because I thought the party was on Friday. And I was there all night. And then I went back to the same bar.
Poor thing.
The next night. And yeah, she kindly joined us. How are you feeling?
I am so hungover. It is absurd. When I was on the train, I was like shaking.
Oh, shit.
But I'm on the mend. I have been given Alka-Seltzer and some Advil, and I'm guzzling seltzer water. So I'll be there. I'm coming. I'm coming.
Well, while you come, let's just go a little bit over your background.
Sure.
Sanaya, you're a native New Yorker.
Yes.
You perform bi-weekly at UCB's Lloyd Night with Dog People.
Yes.
And Fight Club.
Yes, that was my first your old team. Yep, yeah. Yep.
In 2016 and 2018, you were at the Austin Festival Pitch Competition.
That's right.
You were first runner up.
Yep.
For TV show pitches.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Oh,
bitch. You got invited to the wedding. Yeah, you got invited.
I ain't even at the buffet. And then you're the co-host and writer for Bustle Breakdown.
Yes, yes.
And Sanaya, we have to talk about this. You only sleep 3 to 4 hours a night?
Yeah, I don't sleep a lot. It's not a good quality. Don't be like me. I'm not one of those people that's like, sleep is for the dead. No, no. Dumbass hoe. I have insomnia. I have a regular full-time job, and then I also do comedy stuff. So let's say if I get out of work at like 7, and then I have a show at 8, and then a second one at 11, so on and so forth. And then I do it all over again the next day.
Yeah. Like I know that schedule, but then not being able to sleep, like my last day job, the one I got fired from, fuck those people. I didn't want the job anyway. So much better for me. But it was about in the sleep industry, and it's like, Sleep's really fucking important.
I know.
But I know you're working on it.
I'm
but
working on it.
Because I used to be like, yeah, I don't sleep. And then I was like, oh, it's like the cause of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Like, there's so many neurological diseases from, like, not getting sleep. But now I've been, like, meditating before I lay down. And, like, that helps. And then also I take a melatonin.
Yeah.
So even if I don't sleep many hours, like, those 4 hours are super restorative. Deep, yeah. Because I'm in deep sleep. So
you know what helps, too? Putting a fan right in front of your bed.
Oh.
So you breathe in the air.
Oh.
Like that helps me like get to sleep. Like the noise and then also like the airflow.
Yeah.
Really helps me.
I actually have a fan and I was just thinking about it. I was like, could that fit on my night like on my nightstand? I think it can.
Hey, let me know how that goes.
Yeah, thank you.
Sleep aside. So you're on the All Dick is Trash podcast.
It is.
It is. That's my first question. You know, I very firmly believe that all dick is trash, mm-hmm. but I want to hear what you have to say and your journey. Well, first, do you think all dick is trash?
Do I think all dick is trash? No, I don't think all dick is trash, but I do think like a solid 88% is. And I also think that like the bar is on the floor for men.
Yes.
On the motherfucking floor.
Yes.
Recently, for my day job, I was doing a study about postpartum depression, mm-hmm. right? And, like, we were interviewing all the husbands of women who suffered with postpartum depression. Excuse me, caregivers. The female caregivers were, like, sisters, moms, et cetera. And they're like, oh, my sister had it, and I quit my job. I moved to Tennessee. I started raising her children, her two oldest, while she was dealing with, like, all this stuff. Uh-huh. The husbands we interviewed were like, I realized my wife had postpartum depression. I told her to get it together. And then, like, people in the back room be like, oh, he's so loving. He's so caring. It's like, no, he isn't.
He never left her the whole time.
Right? It's like, ugh.
The bar's on the floor.
The bar's on the
floor. Yeah, so when I say all dick is trash, I'm like, interesting. When I say all dick is trash, I guess to me, it just means, like, of course I don't believe that all dick is, like, you know, but it's just easier. It's kind of like, when black people complain about cops.
Yes.
And they're like, police kill, you know what I mean? Stop killing us.
Yes.
It's like, if you, you know, if you like try to say, well, okay, not all cops, like Jed is good in this, like it kind of removes the system.
Sure.
And the accountability, you know what I mean?
So it's like, 100% understand.
And yeah, like I feel like that's like things that turn people off is like, oh, what you're saying all day. And you know, like,
nah,
I feel like
a lot
of everyone is trash, you know what I mean? But that's just like,
I just think in the end, men and women are socialized differently, right?
Yes.
Like, I can think about like the great loves of my life, quote unquote loves of my life, have been women who have been my friends and taken care of me and gone, you know, way above and beyond and gone the distance for me, right? I do not have those friendships with men, period.
Yeah.
Because we're socialized differently. Like, something I think is absurd is like if a guy gets really drunk with all his friends, mm-hmm. they'll leave him and like
they'll
just
leave him. They don't care and they laugh.
Yeah, they like it's like, oh, I don't, you know, where's Tim? I don't know. Like how is that possible? I would never hear about that or do that to a female friend. You know what I'm saying?
But like, also too, I also feel like the relationship with female friends is stronger or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like society doesn't really like appreciate female friendship or value female friendship, or like we're not also socialized to see that it's just as important as a romantic relationship.
But it's not hot. That's all it is. It's not hot if you're not fighting or like fucking. So why care about your best friend? Then you guys are just being two soft women that are crying in the corner.
Right.
Well, like, it's like it's not even that. It's like not hot. It's also too like, I feel like, just for me, you know, I'm like perpetually single and I just like always struggle with friends. Like, I always just like really struggle with friends of like, you know, bringing their boyfriends to everything and like not having like you know what I mean? Mm. Like, and sometimes it can feel like they're feeling societal pressure to like settle down or to doing that. Or like they're told that like your man is supposed to come before your female, you know what I mean? No. And all that stuff. And like, At times, I'll just feel like a placeholder for like, oh, I'm hanging out with you because my boyfriend's out of town, or I'm, you know what I mean?
That's
or like,
terrible. This is like,
yeah, that's not okay.
But I feel like that's what society,
I don't think that's society. Women and men,
I know that there's some bad friends, but I'm just saying like women and men are socialized differently, but we're also socialized. I think everyone's socialized differently to prioritize friendship in a different way. And, like, of course, you'll find people who, like, are great and genuine and whatever. But I just feel like, yeah, like, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And I definitely, like, for example, one of my friends, she started dating this guy or whatever. He was raggedy as hell. And I was, like, not seeing her in a very difficult time in my life anyway. And I told a family member about it, and they were like, well, what did you expect? She got a boyfriend. And it's like, well, I was expecting my friend to still be my person. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's still my friend. But, yes, to your point, like, I do think that, like, people treat friendships specifically, like, for women in their, like, teens and 20s as, like, like a transient, and then like some magical man is supposed to come and sweep you off your feet, and now all of a sudden,
and then now like fuck your friend, and then, like you know.
And let me tell you something: when that raggedy ass motherfucker leaves your ass
or cheats on you, or whatever,
like what you gonna do? Now you ain't got nobody, dummy. Yeah.
That's what. And I have you seen that movie? I mean that show, Dollface, on Hulu.
Oh yeah,
you know I watched it because I have Candy's Hulu. I have Candy's Hulu, but yeah, like I think they just do like such a good job of like, you know, they bring, and a lot of people think it's like corny, or whatever. But like, I really like it's like a comedy, and it's like brings fantastical elements into like this girl who was dating her boyfriend for 5 years, and then he just like dumps her like really random, like out of the blue. Wow. And then like they literally take her to a bus, like she's like, well, now you gotta get on a bus, so like women, you gotta go back to having like female friends. And then all the women get off the bus, and you know, they have their friends waiting for them at the station.
Yeah.
And then the girl's like, where are my friends? And they're like, oh, it looks like your friendship expired. And then it's like, what? And it's like, yeah, you didn't really like show up to any of their shit. You didn't really like blah blah blah. Like they're not gonna come get you. Like, but they did it in a way to like show.
That's interesting.
It's like, yeah, and it's just like, I mean,
wait, one of the stops on the bus was Rebound. Some girl's freaking out, like, get me off. And she runs into like this like really basic ass dude's arms and is like, cool.
Oh yeah, my exactly. God. She's like, I can't go back.
That's
so
funny.
But it's like, yeah, this idea, I really liked how they showed that idea of like, you know, if you don't cultivate these friendships, no one's going to pick you up from the bus station.
Right, right.
That's a shame, too, that you have to think about friendship in that way. Like, who's going to have my back? Like, yeah, it's a shame that, like, I guess, I don't know. It's this weird kind of selfishness where you just think about what you want to have instead of, like, cherishing what you actually can have and what you can grow.
Very true as well. I do think that, like, there are definitely times in my life where it's like, I do not want to go to my friend's thing, whatever the thing is. And then I'm like, but, you know, I love them. I want to be supportive, yada, yada, yada. But it does feel like a obligation. And, like, that's also a hard thing to kind of navigate because it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be selfish, but I also am very cognizant that whatever I'm about to do, I'm going to be miserable the whole time I'm there. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, that's tough. Like, I feel like for me, I'm just like, I had to start getting there to be like, would this person do this for me? Would this person like pull all the stuff? You know what I mean? And then like, and it feels bad because like, it feels weird because we're always socialized. We have all these messages that are like, you don't do things for people to do things back, or like, you can't, like, you got to do things because you want, like, like out of purity, not because you'll get, you know what I mean? Like, not be like, I'm going to do this for you. But then at the same time, it's like, yeah, but like, I'm not going to put all the stops for someone who's like not going to show up for me in that time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And also too, if it's close, if we're close enough, like my best friend, she's coming to a show, and then like, you know, oh, I'm actually really tired or what, you know, and I can't make it. That's fine, you know, whatever. Yeah. But like, I know that like, if I really want her to, you know what I mean, like, you know, but yeah. It's like a give and take, you know?
It's so funny. Like, there's like all the, it's like very conditional. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You gotta, you know, you show up for the people who show up for you and vice versa. But then also you have to preserve your own like health energy, and whatever you need. Yeah, your energy, your light or whatever. Like, it's like there's like all these like nuances to it. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I try to do like super random things for my friend, like for my friends rather, like if I'm going to see someone out and there's like a candy or something that they like and it's a rare candy, like you don't see it at the CVS, like I'll pick up a whole bunch of those and then keep them on my coffee table until I see them. Like I try to do little small gestures of like
service.
So yeah, but just like a little like, just so you know, okay, even if I'm not always around, I'm thinking of you and like I'm cognizant of like your
small. That's your love language. Yeah. That's your acts of service.
My babies.
You are totally acts of service. Yeah.
Because like everyone needs to like feel special and nice. And like I think specifically sometimes we all get in our heads like, ain't nobody thinking about you. Yeah. And like I think it's nice to know, you know what, someone is thinking about you and they love you and they want you to be happy.
Exactly. Like cultivating.
Yeah.
Which is...
I meant to bake you cookies today, but man, I was so hungover.
I feel like I could speak on behalf of Millie. The fact that you showed up again the day after your birthday, after from the Bronx to Brooklyn, that's crazy. Yeah, that's
I made amazing. A commitment.
The last time I was in the Bronx was with Millie in a like
that was
three
an act of
ago.
Service that was, where you came with me to pick up my sister from the airport. Yeah. We went to the Bronx.
And we had a car.
So sweet.
I couldn't get it out of the fucking parking space. It was snowing.
It might have been 4 years
ago. It was
a
mission. I posted it on Facebook. I'm like, who wants to do a mission with me today?
Wow.
I love that. And Candy said, sure, man.
Yeah, but like I was sober. I was fine. Yeah. I was completely healthy. I didn't have a bag of snacks.
I've got a bowl full of chicken and rice.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I needed some help.
Yeah, so
sweet angels.
Sanaya, like I want to hear up? A little bit about your dating history.
Oh girl.
Were you dating in high school? I know you have some really interesting stories about college, but I also like and I don't know if you, yeah, I know your college stories trip me up.
Absurd.
But also
college.
Too like and I don't want to, you know, put your business out there, but like your biggest college story with like that relationship you feel like sharing that.
Sure.
But yeah, I want to hear whatever you want to share.
This is going to be a good
for
time.
For all of my listeners.
So there are a couple of things that you should know about me. Okay, so when I was in college.
Grew up in the Bronx.
I'm from the Bronx. I had a real strong accent before I went to college. Like it still peeks out in some words like Hazug. That's how I say it.
Yeah, I feel like you have a New York accent. It's really endearing and cute.
Thank you so much. But it used to be I was mini Cardi B over here. Like it was wild. Anyway, so
how'd
I went
you
to
find out about your college and where is it?
Okay, my college is in Waterville, Maine. I found out about it because I was 16 years old and a senior, and I was gonna graduate early. I was young as hell, but I needed a scholarship because I grew up poor. Working class, if my family is listening, because I don't want them to get offended, but we were poor. And so I needed a scholarship, and I got it. I applied to a whole bunch of schools, Cornell, NYU, everywhere, you know, that I could apply to. I really wanted to go to Howard, though.
Oh.
And make a long story short, early decision, I had to apply for Posse, which is a scholarship. Ended up getting Posse and got Colby. Was going to be my posse. And they just wrote me the biggest check. I graduated from school with literally no debt. And then my dumb ass went and got a master's degree and then got into debt. Why the fuck I did that is beyond me. To be honest, going back to the friendship thing, I very firmly believe that steel sharpens steel. So like if I have a friend who's career oriented and is good at their job and is striving for things, I feel like that makes me better because I'm like, oh, my friend Jessica in particular, she did a post-bac program and then after that got into med school. She's a doctor now, like killing it. And I remember looking at her and being like, she is so fucking dope and I don't want to be the raggedy ass friend who's doing shit with my life, right? So anyway, so that's probably a part of that steel sharpens steel belief system is probably why I went into graduate school. Anyway, so my school is in Maine. It was Maine is one of the whitest states in the country. It's literally New Hampshire and Maine. They switch off every couple of years for being the whitest states in the country. And so there was literally like maybe four or five black people my class year. And so like all these white guys, like they were interested in me and like I kind of had my pick of the litter. Mm-hmm. To be fair, they were probably exoticizing the hell out of me. But if they express it like that, I wasn't rocking with them. Yeah. But I was a savage in college. Like, I'd be like, yo, come to my room, eat me out, bring me a pizza. And they would do it. So fucking dumb. I wasn't even having sex with them. I would just let them eat me out and bring me a pizza or dumplings or a fucking stromboli or like just like the most random... The most random snacks ever, like
a stromboli. Now I remember you were like you were saying like, yeah, yo, I used to text this guy, be like, yo, Adam, come over to my room, give me a barbecue chicken calzone and come eat me out, bitch.
Yes.
And he came with a barbecue chicken calzone. Yes.
So how this first started, first of all, thank you for the specificity. She remembered exactly the food.
Because that was the funniest part about it. I tell my comedy students, I said, specificity is key.
Yeah, that it's very true. So how it first happened was I was at a dance and there was this kid named Jack and he was jacked. And I love a big Jack juice head. Always have, always will. And I was flirting with him. And this guy, Adam, comes up to me. He's like, Sanaya, I really like a girl. I don't know what to do about it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Adam, if you like someone, you got to just go for it. Let them know how you feel, blah, blah, blah. While I'm still in the, like, a trio talking to Adam, or talking to Jack while Adam walks up. And then Adam grabs my face and starts kissing me.
Oh, shit.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, now Jack and Adam are best friends.
No.
I'm never going to bag Jack because he's watching me make out with his best friend right now. So Adam was like, after he kisses me, he was like, what do I need to do to make you mine? I was like, if you could find me a calzone. I was like, then come to Dana 114 and it's on. Now, in my head, this is Waterville, Maine. All the pizza shops are closed. Yes. It's impossible for him to find this fucking calzone. I'm thinking, there's no way, right? And then it's like 2:40 in the morning, and he comes into my room with a fucking calzone. Where he got this shit to this day, I don't know.
He made it. He made it himself, though. Damn. Yo.
So I was like, he earned eating my box. Yeah, and that rocked out for like 6 months. And then I started feeling bad. I never slept with him, not one time.
Yo, you know what? Yeah, yeah. But you told me you ran into him, you saw him in the street. She saw him in the street.
So he's like an investment banker or something now. And I was buying wine for an office party. So I literally had like just gaggles of wine in my hand. And I ran into him in the street and he wanted to make small talk, but I just couldn't do it. I was so ashamed of the way I treated this poor man.
And, you know,
he probably went to therapy over that.
Nah, they love that shit.
He can't eat pussy. He can't eat calzones. He's all fucked up.
Fried chicken dumplings. He's going to bring me the most random foods.
They don't like a nice girl. They just want somebody
One time I wrote on his chest with lipstick. I was bugging.
Yo.
Because in the porns, you know how like they do that to the women? They'll put like slut on their back. That's what I did.
Oh, he gets peed on now for sure.
He's hitting me up. He's the one DMing me on Tinder being like, yo, can you peg me? And I'm like, you don't even know my name. Like, you want to ask me what I do for a living or something before you come with the peg request?
He doesn't have to look you in the eye if you're pegging.
My rhetoric is like, for every fuck boy that exists, they'll meet a girl like me who gets you your payback. Like, I got your back, sis. I'm about to ruin his life for your honor. I got you.
Woman of the people.
Yeah,
you know
so
what?
Much.
Thank you.
Honestly,
thank you for your service.
There's something socialist about it, and I love it. There's some kind of give back to the people energy that I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm picking up what you're putting down tonight. So, okay, so you're getting your box ate by white guys in Maine. First of all, I just have to say, this is what Harriet Tubman was.
Oh, my God.
I can't even. I couldn't even say it.
The ghost of Harriet Tubman was like, choke, bitch.
The ghost of Harriet Tubman was like, you're a bitch. You tried it. First, I got this shitty ass reboot. Then I got fucking Nicki Minaj talking about me eating rice. And now I got this dumb bitch.
Oh my God, aww. Millie.
To freedom!
Yeah, man. I was like really on one back in the day.
So you had all these guys. And then what, you know, what else? So then what's going on in college?
Okay, so another thing, I was in a relationship for a really long time. But it was like off and on. He was low-key trash. And, or very high-key trash. Anyway.
Yeah, he was high-key trash.
He was like cheating on me and the whole bit. But I remember one summer I came back home to New York and a couple of my friends was like, Snyder, you're so jaded now. Like, you need to get back out there, blah, blah, blah. All right. So I get on OKCupid.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember OKCupid?
I remember when OKCupid was popping.
It was popping.
Candy met her man on OKCupid.
Did you really?
Yeah, we've been together 5 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, it works.
I know, I'm like, damn, bro, I want to just get back on because,
dog,
this shit is serious.
It was not good when I was on. And anyway,
it wasn't good when I was on. Okay. That happened. It was never good.
You're never
good.
You just found the one lucky.
Yeah. No, it's always bad.
So I like make a profile. Same day. I was New York natural. And because my hair was natural. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. And so I met this guy. He was like 6'2". Ooh. He was really deep skinned, dark Caesar square head. My type of man, like Lance Gross looking, you know who that is?
No.
He's not that famous. Anyway, and so I like was like, let's meet by the Best Buy on 14th Street. And I'm across the street at the park, and I'm like, where are you? He's like, I can't see you, blah, blah, blah. He starts walking towards me and the perspective shifts. So this really tall man ended up being like teeny tiny, like,
oh, he lied about his height.
In a big way. He was like maybe 5'5", like he was tiny. And I had on, I used to wear heels all the time. I had on these long, like Mary J. Blige heels and these boots, thigh high boots rather. And it was just awful. Anyway, so he's like, oh, I'd love to take you for a drink. And I was like, but I'm not shallow, but I wanted to see him in better light. So I'm like, let's go to the Barnes and Nobles and chat there. We go to the Barnes and Nobles. I get a brownie and a Snapple. He does not pay for it.
Oh,
I know. And he's talking to me, and I'm just thinking to myself, Sanaya, I really think I'm cuter. I'm cuter than this. I don't need this. I don't need this. I'm not sure, but I think I can survive not being on this date. So then he's like, well, you want to go to Max Brenner and like sit down and have a meal, whatever. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then we leave the Barnes and Noble. I cross the street and I see the subway and I just take off running.
Oh, shit.
Yes, God. I high kneed it out there.
Yo,
bro.
You're a bitch. I'm obsessed.
I went home and I deleted my OKCupid and I was done with the.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Until Tinder came.
Don't lie. Just don't lie.
Yeah. Man, he was tiny.
Yo.
There's no need. Just set expectations.
Like, I'm sure I would have been good with it. I would have been fine. I'm 5'2". Mm-hmm. I would have been fine. But it was just like in my boots, I was like towering over him.
Yeah, you're a liar, and you can't pay for a Snapple
and a brownie. That brownie was probably like $4, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's trying to take you to Max Brenner,
I know.
Yeah, that shit ain't cheap.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
That fondue.
Oh my gosh, man, there's so many things. Okay, another time I went on a date with this guy. His name was Artemis. He was really handsome. I met him at the club. He was so cute, though.
Artemis sounds like a very Bronx name.
Yeah, he was from he was from the Bronx. He was Dominican.
I knew it. Any kind of Greek name.
Yeah, and you're like fucking weird ass. Dominicans love a weird ass name.
We went to like this restaurant or whatever, and it was like by the South Street Seaport, and there was no artificial light. Everything was candlelight. And we get in there, and he's like, why is it so dark in here? And I'm like, well, I think they're trying to set the mood. You know, it's supposed to be like a romantic restaurant. So, like, that was weird. Then we're sitting down and, like, they, you know, he ordered oysters. And, you know, they give you that little oyster fork so you can get them out of the shell. He also had a side salad. He takes the oyster fork and is, like, stabbing his salad to, like, try to eat the – it was – weird. Mm-hmm. And then I just felt like the date was not going well, so I ordered
but he sounds like very hot.
He was very hot.
Yeah.
I was like, this date's like not going
well.
Like,
not the etiquette, but like that like brutal,
yeah,
like
brooding, like yeah.
He sounds hot.
But like, if you're that dumb and you've gotten away with all this, like,
yeah, you're hot. Yeah,
you're hot as fuck.
Amazing.
So I was like, huge. I'm just gonna have a soup because I didn't want to have a whole meal and like really, you know, draw out this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It was like the conversation was not dazzling, nothing. So I go to the bathroom. I go, I'm gonna go powder my nose. I go to the bathroom. I call my friend Olisa. I'm like, Olisa, I'm on a terrible date. I need you to call me in a couple minutes, say something bad happened, and I'm going to get out of here. She goes, nah, I think it's funnier to leave you on the date.
Yo. Click.
You think I'm a savage? My friend Olisa is wild. I love that girl. So anyway, so I go back to the table. He gets real close to my face. And he goes, your nose don't look no different. And I was like, what?
This nigga's stupid.
And he was like, you said you went to go powder your nose. Your nose don't look no different. And I'm just shocked. Then he orders dessert, and he orders, like, this little chocolate bridge, and he eats that shit by himself. Like, he, like, cracks it with the side of the fork, and is, like, eating. It was just crazy. And I went on a second date with that weirdo. Like,
did
a
you
dummy.
Have sex with him?
No,
that's
no.
That's what New York does to you, though. You're like, you know what?
That's a rip and dip if I've heard one.
Yeah, I didn't have sex with that guy. I just couldn't do it.
Someone who doesn't know what a like salad fork, not even a salad fork, just like what a big oyster fork looks like, definitely has the clap. Like without a doubt, you saved yourself from like a couple UTIs.
He asked me my hair was
he
real.
He's
crazy.
He doesn't pull out. Was real? He doesn't pull out.
It wasn't.
It wasn't,
day.
Of course.
Hey, it wasn't that day. But still, you don't ask people that.
Yeah. Fuck
off,
dude.
If it's on my head, it's mine.
Right. I paid for it.
Yeah. Fuck the fuck. Oh. What about a trash thing that a guy's done to you? Because you're talking about, now you're saying like you're trash. And
I don't know that.
We know, we got that. But also too, I know that you didn't start out this way. I feel like something happened.
Yeah, well, I got cheated
the
on.
The origin story.
Yeah, my origin story. I got cheated on in college and like in high school. I was dating this kid who was just like, terrible. Like he was dating me and he was dating this other girl and he got her pregnant. It was like a mess. The same is true when I was also this is before I was in my long-term college relationship. I was seeing this guy, I think I was a sophomore. Because I was home sophomore summer, and I worked at the movie theater, and I was an old virgin. This is important to say. So a lot of my savagery is
too.
A lot of my savagery is like above the pants savagery. Yeah. I was dating this boy. His name was Steve, and I met him at the movie theater because I was the concession girl, and he was like the little usher or whatever. And he was huge. He was like 6'4". He had braids. He had a tattoo on his, I don't know what this is called, like the back of your arms that said too swole, but swole was spelled wrong.
Oh, fuck.
Uh-huh.
So S-W-O.
I remember that he had to squeeze the L in. Like they went,
shit.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so.
Not his fault. It's his fault for going to that artist.
He was like, he was going to be like a journalist major or something like that, but then he dropped out of college, whatever. I knew it was like not gonna be like a love. Anyway, so one day Steven is walking me home from the Parchester movie theater to my house in Soundview, and this girl is pushing a baby stroller, and she's like, Steven, who's this bitch, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and
shit.
Steven was like, yo, that's my ex, she's crazy as hell, get out of here. So I start crossing the street, like, let me get out of here because this bitch is crazy as hell. I don't want, you know. But then I thought to myself, what if she's telling the truth and Steven's lying to me? So I crossed the street back the other way. And
you left the smoke and you came back.
Right. So that's how she perceived it. She perceived it that I wanted the smoke. So she goes to swing at me. Me and this bitch start fist fighting and the baby stroller is like adjacent to us.
You start fighting this girl?
Yes. She swung at me first, though. I was defending myself, as far as I'm concerned.
Girl!
I remember...
For Steven, who can't even have swole spelled correctly.
She grabbed the arm of my shirt and ripped it, so my whole titty was out.
Yo, like bare titty?
No, I had on a bra. It was an orange polka dot bra.
Oh, embarrassing.
Because I was a child.
That's so funny. That's honestly, like, a scene I would write it that would be the...
Like, me and this girl started fist fighting. Then I get home. I'm like, I lived in a one bedroom apartment, so I had no privacy. I get in the bathtub and I'm calling my friends like, yo, we about to ride out on this bitch. Oh! Like, I'm pissed. She's calling.
Did she kick your ass?
No. Thank God. It was like a very fair fight. Mm. Like, she got her licks in, I got my licks in. Like, it was a very fair fight. I've actually never gotten beaten up, thank God.
Yeah, okay.
One time someone tried to jump me and I was very fortunate to like get the fuck out of there. Yeah, I've never gotten beaten up. Anyway.
So your titties out.
My titties out. I'm at the house. I go back home. I'm like so pissed. I'm calling my friends like, we about to get this. I'm so pissed. Cause I'm still thinking maybe she is just crazy. Like, she just swung on me and I just wanted to talk to her. So then she calls me. She's calling me like 4, 5, 6 times. Yeah, in a row. I'm like, how does bitch get my number? Blah, blah, blah. And she tells me the tea. She's like, me and Steven been together for like 6 years. This is his baby. I might be pregnant now. Like, mad shit.
And you're fighting?
Yes. I'm like,
so
why?
So you fought a pregnant?
I fought a pregnant girl. Yes.
In front of her child. But that's fine.
That's not crazy. She gave you the tea.
She gave me the tea that they had been together, blah, blah, blah. She was like, he don't live with his parents because, like, all this shit. And make a long story short, me and that girl became really good friends.
Oh, my God.
And for her baby shower, I sent her a shit ton of clothes. Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Joanne, what's up if you listening?
Yo, that's so
Yeah, but that's funny. What I was like. Yeah,
is she still
these.
With Steven?
I don't know.
Let's hope not.
Mm-hmm. She was cute. She didn't need this.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, she's nice fighting when, people like, in Soundview. Yeah.
I did not want to fight. I really crossed the street to just be like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, because you and Steven were like seeing each other.
We were seeing each other. Just
and you,
like,
you slept with him and everything?
No, because that was before I lost my virginity back in college. Yeah. Mm. So like that was the summer right before I lost my virginity.
I mean, you probably weren't the first. You probably just like had to catch some heads before. And I know. Just like, fuck it. I'm down. I know.
So bad. Like,
It sounded like that. He put that girl through so much. Mm-hmm. And the reason he liked me is because like I was in school and like I had more going on, quote unquote. And like, I think
he probably saw as like a loser, but instead of him like
doing better,
he wants to latch on to someone else's doing better because they think that that's what's going to get them to get their shit together. And it's like, no, like it might, but like, that's not my responsibility.
Yep.
That's crazy. So there's this girl. I have like a weird, this is like a sharp right or sharp left or whatever, but like, you know, everyone's like glow ups when they lose weight and stuff of like, I lost 40 pounds and I'm in the gym. And like, especially a lot of people from my high school, they're like, I ate Herbalife only for 5 years. Like, and it's like, yeah, you're drinking powdered water. Like, dog, like you're gonna lose weight.
Eat a sandwich.
You're not eating anything. But this girl like lost all this weight and posted and shit. And then like, she would post the most wild Facebook thing. She would be like, to the people who jumped me in the parking lot of Target, like, over this. And I'm like, first of all, bitch, if I'm losing 40 pounds, I'm not going to go lose 40 pounds in the movies to fight over a guy in a fucking parking lot at Target.
Yeah, man.
And that girl, her Facebook post would make me so sad.
Yo.
Because she would also be like, she was fucking a married guy. And then, like, she didn't have a car. So she would be like, what? And then she got pregnant by that guy.
Yeah.
And then the other baby daddies calls her a hoe. And she's like, at least her father, like, she's like, so get.
Yeah, like, I feel like the things that are like, everyone experiments when they're young and like is like fucking people they shouldn't and all that stuff. But when you live in a destabilized community in particular, the risk is greater, right? Like a pregnancy for a person who like is like the fucking heir to the Lando Lakes butter.
Yes.
But it's different than a pregnancy like, you know.
And they're probably still going to get an abortion.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, like that's like an access. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, man.
But like people have to. But, like, in order for Lando Licks to have money, they need people to be destabilized and poor.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
So, like, because if those people start getting financial dependence, You know, I mean, like, again, socialism. But, like,
yeah. But those 3 years after high school when everyone was getting knocked up and put it, like, you're like, hey, like, oh, I went to this crazy rave. Oh, hey, our baby daddy's crazy. Yeah, why won't they just pick up your kid?
Like, damn. Yeah, we got Miami here. It's LA. You
know, yeah, I had to lose my accent, too, in college.
Oh, man.
Some people say I have an accent. I don't know now. But, like, people are like, oh, I could tell you from Miami for me. I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, let's see.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. It's so funny you guys asked me what my origin story is. I feel like a villain. 100%. I like have adjusted to all dick being trash by being more trash. Like, I'm going to out trash you, motherfucker. I got you.
And then you have to even like take you into account. Like, it's so hard for me to be partial because my whole life, my mom is just like, everyone's going to fucking like do you wrong. Yeah. Like, you only have you. Like, don't trust anyone. Don't even trust your family members. Always leave the door
that's
open.
So
like,
sad. Nah.
Yeah, so I absorb her trauma. So when you're saying, like, oh, bring your boyfriend, I was like, nah, fuck a bitch. I'm not bringing anyone anywhere. Like, it's just me until I die. Yeah. Which comes with its own set of problems. But I don't understand. I'm like, intimacy?
Yeah, please talk to someone, Candy.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Moving on, great.
Not on this podcast.
It's so funny.
So talking about, but now you're in a really loving, amazing relationship.
I love my baby.
And yeah, like, it's really cute to see. So like,
Thank you. You
know, I'm sure things were different there and there were some adjustments that happened.
No, so I will say let me make sure this is true. I think all of my savageries ended like when I turned my tassel out of college. Like, I was like, all right, I'm not going to treat people like this in the real world.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I had always been like super duper open and honest and fun in myself. And like, you know, like when you first start dating someone, you're not dating them, you're dating their representative.
Yeah.
I try my damnedest not to be that. Like, I try to just unabashedly just let it all hang out. Mm-hmm. So even though I have given a lot of energy in myself and openness to people who didn't necessarily deserve it.
Yeah.
It was so easy when I met Young because it was like, It wasn't like I had to let down a wall. The wall was already gone. Like, I had worked all that shit out way before I met him. So, like, I feel very fortunate that it wasn't like, I hate when people are like, oh, relationship is 50-50. That's bullshit. Y'all both got to bring your full 100 and try to make something new with that. You can't, you know, you can't just be like, oh, whatever.
And, like, it's like the idea of, like, a soulmate is, like, stupid. Because it's not like, the soulmate is whoever you choose to give that piece of you.
That's true.
And it's the journey
of,
like, creating and loving together.
I love that.
Not going to be somebody that, you know, it's whoever you choose and whoever you work on stuff with.
Yeah.
So, like, bringing your 100%, like, and being like, I'm choosing you and we're going to... It's all about, like, cultivation, which I guess is, like, the theme of this episode of, like, cultivating friendships and cultivating relationships.
Yeah.
And I feel like people feel... Like, and it takes work, and it takes working and a lot of communication of, like, this is what I expect, and this is what I want, and this is what I need.
Right.
And I feel like people just expect that you're going to just show up to a situation, and it's just going to be perfect and like, the right thing. That's what the soulmate fantasy is that you're going to go and you're going to meet someone who's in their same place as you, like, mentally, that's and bullshit. Is in the same place, like, level as you, like, with career, and it's just, like, that's just not... That's not real, you know? It's always going to take some kind of cultivation or some kind of thing.
I have friends who, like, expect, like, they'll be like, I'm going to break up with him because he didn't know that when I said I was sick, I needed soup and I needed, you know, him to wash my hair and blah, blah, blah. It's like, did you tell him that's what you needed? Did you communicate?
I shouldn't have to tell him.
He should just know. It's like, he's not magical, like, motherfucker, like.
You have to have realistic expectations,
I think, too. I think that's it's a double bind that, like, society has given both women and our counterparts, like, that our people are just supposed to immediately know how to meet everything. Some people will, but you can't expect that of your... I think it's, you know, unfair.
Well, it's also, like, you give the love that you want, not the love that the other person needs.
Mm.
So, like, you expect that, or you know what I mean? But, like, that's not... What they, you know, you're not doing shit that they want either. You know what I mean? Like,
Early on in my relationship, so I'm like a huge, like, go-getter. Like, I'm, you know, whatever. And I was on the track to be VP at my job. Mm-hmm. And it was like so hard and whatever. And I remember, like, Young is a very laissez-faire person. Like, he's very, very, very chill. And he wanted to be a chef. And at the time, he wasn't ready to make that transition into, like, starting that whole process. And I was like, there's no better time than now. It's always going to be hard to make a new decision, blah, blah, blah. And I was really forceful with him about that. And at one point, he said, babe, you're not dating yourself. You can't expect me to be you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, you're right. Like, yeah. I didn't even realize that that's what I was doing. I thought I was being encouraging and blah, blah. But he was like, no. Like, if you want to posit possibilities, sure. But telling me what to, it's like, that's not, I'm never going to be you. And if that's what you're expecting, then this is not going to work. And I remember being like, holy shit, damn, you correct.
Yeah, like, no, and that's true.
You like, are correct, yeah. sir.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that's amazing. You have a relationship where he can tell you and you can like take in it all. And just like resonate it. And like, yeah, listen.
Our relationship is so fucking good. We never fight. We're real fucking chill, bro.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I feel like it comes from that communication. Like, but accepting it and receiving it and stuff. And yeah, just knowing that like what kind of support we need. All right. So what are some red flags that you've chosen to ignore in the past?
Baby. Okay, red flags that I chose to ignore in the past. Okay, lack of communication that's not true. Changes in the communication, right? If we talk once a week, that's fine.
Yeah.
If we talk every day, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if we go from talking every day to out of nowhere starting to talk just once a week, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
Because it's anything, I think, anything that is outside of your normal, and you define your normal however you want, but anything that's outside of your normal is a huge red flag, I would say.
And why do you say that? How'd you learn
They're
that?
Usually cheating. Like, yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, like if there's like a dramatic change in how they communicate to you, how they talk to you, whatever, sign ain't right. Sign in the milk ain't clean, sis. Mm. Yeah.
Is that how did you find out that your
so
partner was cheating?
When I was in college, I was seeing this guy and I loved that little fucker. And I was popular, not to be a dick, but I was popular again, probably because I was black and it was interesting. But he was one of the other only black people at my school. And he was also popular. And I remember being at parties or whatever, and no one knew that we were together. I don't know why that was. It just kind of happened that way. Like, we got together in the summer, so when the year started, whatever. And I remember being at a party, and, like, he was in one area of the party, I was in the other, and we didn't communicate with each other at all.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, this is weird. I don't know why or how it's weird quite yet, but this is weird. Like little things like that, like he would text me whatever or call me if I was in the library and he was in the library instead of just walking up to me, like little small things. Whereas like literally, you know, a couple of weeks before, he was always on my ass, and like so like I would say it was just a dramatic change in how we communicated with one another. And it was because he was fucking everybody and their mama. And you know, obviously didn't want me to know and didn't want them to know that I was the main sugar stain, as they say. But yeah, so like that's how I find out. Well, he told me actually. We had just slept together and I was
that's terrible.
Literally laying down, like about to go to sleep, and he was like, I have something to tell you. And he was like, I slept with another girl, and I was devastated. And he was like, I started getting dressed and I was in my room.
Yeah.
And he was like, where are you going? I was like, not here. I'm not going here with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, trash.
What do you know what he's doing now?
Yeah, he's married. He married the girl
that he was cheating on.
He cheated on me with like four girls, but he married the last one.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah. She looks like a duck. I don't feel any bad about that at all.
Like, well, as long as you don't feel bad about that, she looks like a fucking duck, bro. Fuck.
Was that now it's just like, those are your standards. Yeah, that's what you said.
Car?
Do you want to sell the car?
Sure. So, okay, so that was...
And that girl's a bitch. Fuck her.
that was over, and I asked him who the girl was. He wouldn't tell me. But he would like stay outside of my door crying, like trying to get me back, whatever. A lot of text messages. I wasn't going to take him back. Then over winter break, obviously I live in New York. No one drives here. So all the New Yorkers would like frantically try to get a ride back to school. And so this guy was driving up. His name was Ashton, and he had a van. And so all the New Yorkers are, like, you know, in the car singing, blah, blah, blah. And that Lil' Kim song, How Many Licks, comes on. And the lyric is, and the black dude, I call him King Kong. He had a big-ass dick and a hurricane tongue, right? That's the lyric. This girl sitting next to me, she goes, oh, my God. Do you know what this song reminds me of? Do you know he has a huge dick? And I'm like, who? And she says his name. And then she was like, haha. And as a reflex, I was like, huh, I know. And then she was like, what? And then she turned on the light in the car. And she goes, oh, you're Sanaya? And I was like, yeah. And she knew about me and, like, the whole bit. And she still was fucking him. And
did she say anything? Like, see, you should have whooped her ass. You should have, like, got sound view.
By then, I was so done with him. Mm-hmm. I didn't care. Like, yeah. I don't think I'm a cold person by any stretch of the imagination, but if I said in my head that we're over, we're over. Like, if I don't fuck with you, I'm really not going to fuck with you.
And then she was just like.
Yeah, she was like, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. And, like, that girl looks like a trout. He loves animal-looking girls, which makes me think, what animal do I look like?
Probably an ant. A cute animal. A very cute
You're
one.
Like Bambi.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thumper.
I love Thumper.
Yeah, Thumper.
Yeah. Thumper with adorable rosy cheeks and the heart of gold.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's he was trash.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. What, without naming names or venue, what's been your most trash experience in comedy?
Ooh, that's a good question. I will name names and I'll give you the venue. I was in a UCB class once, mm-hmm. and there was a scene where I was playing a wife and I was shitting all over my partner's outfit, food. Like that was like my love language, right? That was the game of the mm-hmm. scene. And I guess my scene partner didn't love that because at one point he like pinned me up against the wall and was like, well, would you like it? And I forget what it was, but it was like a sexual innuendo. Like if I tickled your pickle or rocked your butt, like one of those kind of phrases. And the teacher was like, okay, maybe get your hands off of her. Yeah. And then he did. And he was like, back off. And then he made the guy like take mad steps back from me. And then we finished the scene. And at the time, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal, but like as I like went home and like thought about my day, I was like, that was kind of wild.
That was wild. And like especially like now that you're on a bunch of teams, like I feel like that kind of stuff doesn't happen. Yeah. It might happen with people you're comfortable with, but not even.
No, yeah.
Like I wouldn't even do that with you in a scene.
Yeah.
Me and Sanaya are on an improv team together.
Yeah, Marquise all day.
Marquise. But I don't think I would do that with you anyway.
Yeah. And, like, he and I did not have a rapport. We were not friends. He didn't have my phone number. Like, we were not, but, like, we were literally just classmates. And I probably had only spoken to him, like, 4 times because he sat in the front mm-hmm. On the right-hand side and I would always sit in the back on the left. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but, yeah, that was weird. That was pretty trash.
That, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you share your most ridiculous TV pitch with us? Or one that you're super proud of that hasn't gotten the attention that deserved?
All right. So this is a crazy one, and I'm actually working on this right now, and I want to pitch it at the ATX Festival this year. Hopefully I have enough time to actually give it the love and attention that it needs. But recently I have a friend of a friend who got married at the courthouse, mm-hmm. and she was talking about like how everything is so like organized and like next, and it's like whatever, kind of like an assembly line, mm-hmm. and I think it's really interesting. Like I want to make a show about like the city hall like clerks and like the security guards, blah blah blah, who make a business out of love.
Yeah.
I think there's something that's really interesting about that. And I would love to write a comedy about those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I haven't figured it out exactly yet. Like who would be the folks. I got to do some research on like the structure of who's there. But I do think that's really cool. Like what do you do when you commodify love? Like what are those people's lives like?
Yeah. It could be cool. Like a chapel, like if it was an anthology,
yeah,
and each episode was a different, like one city different hall, one's like right. a chapel,
yeah,
like
yeah,
whatever.
Something about that, I think that's so interesting.
That is really interesting. Well, yeah. I can't wait to star in it.
you could be a really fun, like, bailiff, like, you know, like you're letting
next.
People get, you're getting, no, you're getting people married off, and then, like, what if the ex girlfriend comes in? She's like, I halt this wedding. You're like, bitch, this is not TV, yeah, but it is.
In the back.
That'd be funny.
That's so funny. Well, let's do this. We're gonna do our lightning round.
Ooh.
So I'm just gonna ask you, I'm gonna go through a list of things.
Yes.
And you're just gonna say trash or nah.
Okay, cool.
City Island.
Oh, nah. I love City Island.
Maine.
Trash.
Dating apps.
Trash.
Daylight savings.
Trash.
J-Lo.
Trash. Beautiful. Ooh. Stunning. Great gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Ooh. The fire. Cancel culture.
Not trash. I think it's important.
The My Chemical Romance tour.
No, trash.
Wow. Disagree with you on that one. But, you know. Okay, and then we'll wrap this up.
Wow, by saying, I don't
want to
go.
No, we'll share one fond, happy memory that restored your faith in humanity.
Whoa. Let me think. I think I actually have quite a few touch points pretty regularly.
That when Adam got you the calzone and ate your pussy.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for him. Okay, restoring my faith in humanity. I think when I see little kids being sweet to one another, like I saw this video of a little girl, she's trying to dunk a basketball and she's tiny, she throws the ball and obviously it doesn't go high because she's so little and it bounces and hits her in the chin and her brother like bear hugs her and is like, it's okay honey, it's okay, and he's like barely like taller than her, so yeah. He's like trying to hold her but he's also so tiny, like that brings me joy. And I also think, like, if you've been around teenagers at all, they're so open about sexuality,
yeah,
and gender,
really,
and like all these things. It's very inspiring. They're very cognizant of climate change, like all the things. When I was in college, we would talk about unlearning, like you learn a bunch of terrible things and you don't, or you participate in a bunch of terrible things, patriarchy, rape culture, blah, blah, blah. And then you have to unlearn that stuff as an adult. I think these fuckers are learning the right way so that they won't have to unlearn anything.
And
that
it's so many adults being like, you're not learning, or like,
right.
You need to learn these
it's
things.
Like, no, it's like, let them be, man.
Yeah.
You know?
The kids are going to be okay.
The kids are going to be okay. Our generation, I don't know, but the kids are going to be okay. If there's any oxygen left for them.
Well, not our problem. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Bye. Happy listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the All Dick is Trash podcast. The All Dick is Trash podcast is produced by Candy Harrell, and we are part of the More Banana Podcast Network. Our founder and managing producer is Kate Moldenhauer. If you would like to share an anonymous confession, email trashdickconfession@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ADIT Podcast. And of course, you can always follow me, your host, Millie Tamaris, on Twitter at Millie Tamaris. Stay classy, y'all.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, So be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.